Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast that can come off of your radio, earphones, stereo, and into real life this stereo. Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm excited for this Wednesday. We have a meetup at the Loyalist Market in Matthews. If you're around anywhere, we'll be there at 7, just hanging out. And we'd love to see you and say hi in person.
Yeah, and I'm Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
So you can close your eyes, listen to the voices, and we'll be there.
Yes. Please on that day, open your eyes.
I would love to walk into that restaurant and find someone standing there with their eyes closed.
Just that would be hysterical.
Trying to find out.
Yeah, blindfolded.
As though we've never released what we look like.
Right, exactly. Like on Friends, when Joey's like, I gotta run down the stairs. Since she's never met me, she won't know. And Chandler's like, that's how radio stars get away from crazy people.
That is a good one. The problem that I'm facing is that you've had your outfit picked out for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, which means...
Because I love Stitch Fix and...
Oh yeah, not Nat.
They help me with everything, so...
It looks great. I haven't seen it on you, but the pieces look great. I, however, have not even thought about it other than thinking that I don't have anything planned, which means I'm going to panic, grab something on Wednesday, and then hate what I have on. Not that it's about what you're wearing. You come however you are.
I always think you look great, though.
Oh, thank you, Hannah.
You have, like, a very nice style.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, we're really excited. Yeah, I'm going to put out something on Instagram. If you haven't checked our Instagram feed in just a little while, when you listen to this, just go hop over there. I'm just going to ask if you're planning on coming so we can give the restaurant a heads up.
Yeah, it's at a good idea pod on Instagram. So we've got a lot to cover today. It's our book review episode. The Grammys were last night, but then the world shook yesterday.
Yeah.
Around 1 o'clock, we all heard East Coast time. That Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna were in a fatal helicopter crash along with 7 other passengers. Mm-hmm. I think all parents and kids on their way to a basketball camp game.
A tournament, yeah.
Tournament, away game. Yeah. Tragic.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking this morning on my way over here and just getting ready. Like, if you asked me to make a list of, like, the top 10 celebrities that if they died, I would feel very shocked by it.
Right.
Kobe Bryant wouldn't have even cracked that. He doesn't live high on my radar of like.
You think about him all the time.
Right. I just never.
Right.
But I was very, very shocked. And I was so surprised last night. Again, as not a basketball fan, but as a general sports fan.
Right.
How upset I was about it yesterday. And I think maybe it's because as a parent, like.
Yeah, it's your worst nightmare.
Yeah, with Gianna as part of it.
Your spouse and one of your children not coming home.
Yeah.
They were off going just to a game. And, you know, she was his daughter who's super into basketball. Of course, his two little ones, who knows, they might also be when they're older. But she was the one who was following in his footsteps. Yeah. And now, of course, pictures are going around everywhere showing them together. And it is so
And those are so heartbreaking.
Hard.
Well, I was talking to my mom about it. Last night, and she was saying, you know, I remember when Princess Diana died, how upset my mom was about that. And I wouldn't have considered her like a fan of the royals or big Princess Diana fan. But she was telling me, you know, I was so upset about that because her boys were the same age as you and Ben, you know, when that happened.
Yeah.
And it just was so shocking to me.
Right.
That now these boys were without their mom.
Yeah.
And so she's saying, you know, maybe the only like comfort would be that she was with her adoring father. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's maybe some comfort in that.
Right.
But, you know, it's I think Kobe Bryant and there are probably a few athletes that would crack this list, like a Peyton Manning would be on this list of somebody who's just really transcended their sport.
Right.
And they are no longer just about what they played. And I went to the gym late yesterday afternoon and had on ESPN while I was working out. And Spike Lee or LeBron James, they had quotes from both of them just saying that a part of Los Angeles died yesterday. Like he was just that transcendent to their city. And I don't know if Charlotte has anybody like that. That is that.
I don't think so because
symbolic.
He played there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in the Grammys last night that you told me about Alicia Keys hosting. Mm-hmm. And then I read that she said that, like, we're standing here in the house that Kobe built with such heavy hearts. Like, he made that what it is. And I don't know. He was just such an international. He wasn't, like you said, he wasn't just a basketball player. He was such an international star. Like, mm-hmm. Every athlete was, like, putting up pictures of him supporting other teams and, like, other, like, he was a huge soccer fan. Like, every World Cup, he was, like, the first person cheering for the women's team.
Right.
So, I mean, and he just, like, after he retired, had started, like, other really good organizations. Like, he wasn't, I don't know, he just was doing a lot of work. I don't even know how to put, there, like, aren't words.
Yeah, something that I saw last night, because of course I was deep into Instagram about it, mm-hmm. was he had become so dedicated as a father of making sure that women's sports were as equal in stature and importance as men's sports.
Right.
And somebody had said, I wish I knew who it was so I could quote them, that when you talk to him and if you put him on the spot and asked him to name WNBA players so that you could test if he was really, like, meant it, he could list off WNBA players with confidence, without hesitation.
Right.
Would list which of those players could be playing in the NBA, not just the WNBA. And, like, he really had kind of immersed himself in that. Mm-hmm. Spike Lee talked about that because, you know, Kobe Bryant recently won an Oscar.
Yes. I had forgotten about that just because when it happened, I was like, oh. And then last night, I'm like, oh, yeah, he just won an Oscar.
Yeah. Spike Lee worked with him on that film and so was talking about, you know, their memories together and picturing, you know, the last scene of that movie is him walking out of the arena with two of his daughters. And it's like a shot from the back of two of the girls and just leaving the gym as a player to be a dad. And Kobe talked a lot about how he knew that playing sports was temporary. And a lot of pro athletes have kind of lost that perspective that it feels like it's forever.
Right.
But he always knew there would be a second act and didn't put too much permanence on.
Right.
You know, not. But one of the things you and I talked about that's so interesting is the way death, probably particularly of a noteworthy figure, can make somebody two-dimensional in a way that he's being lauded, and rightfully so, for everything he's built, but it can kind of whitewash away some of the controversy that may have existed in talking about him.
Right.
In life, you know, so I picture similarly, like a Brett Favre, if something happened to Brett Favre, shockingly, people would remember all the good things and maybe, like, conveniently forget about his dick pics that he sent, you know, pretty widely, that became a controversy a few years ago.
Right. Well, even I, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm really?
Sure at the time I did.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like it's, I don't remember that happening.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Kobe Bryant has walked through some rape allegations that were very public.
Almost 20 years ago, too.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was 2003.
Wow.
It was before his daughters were all born.
Yeah.
He was still married.
Yes.
But
it was with a young, teen.
I think she was like 18 or 19.
Oh, okay.
I think, because I read a lot about it, and yesterday, just to make sure I have my facts straight. And it was interesting.
Good for you, because
reading
it.
It was interesting to read that in this era, like, the story, because as you know, I'm the first person to say, like, we should support women and, like, we should believe women. And that's, so I want to be careful here that I respect all parties involved. It almost read to me like a more severe form of what happened to Aziz Ansari.
I was about to ask if it was similar to that.
That's how it seemed to me, like, when I was reading it, because of the way he reacted.
Yeah, well, if it happened 20 years ago, I think it would be interesting to compare most, and maybe this is being too categorical, but most professional athletes at 21 versus how they are after they've retired from the game.
Right. He was 24, but same thing. I think she was young. She was, like, 20, this, like, hotel employee. But, like, even in his apology, he wouldn't admit. And I think he settled out of court in a civil suit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm just, like, to me, it kind of looks like, based on his side of the story, and the funny thing is about this, there's nothing funny about this, but I just, well, I've never been a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've never really watched it.
Oh, I really like Curb.
Well, I was like, this seems like something I would like, so I need to, like, watch it. Yeah. So I just started with the latest episode of the new season that just came out, which is episode one. And, light spoilers for that episode. Have you watched?
No.
There's a storyline where Larry David is at a party and he's looking around, the like past hors d'oeuvres are being served, and he's looking around at like this one woman who keeps having like, I don't know, cocktail weenies or something, like that's like what she's bringing around, and every time he sees her the plate is empty and he's like obsessing, and he like every time like he keeps looking at her, and then the camera pans to her being like uncomfortable, and so then he finally, and he ends up following her and like they into like a small catering closet of sorts. And he's like, finally, there you are. And she says, okay, you have been ogling me all night long. And like, she's very uncomfortable. It's played for comedy, but it's also played for the fact, because then he's reaching for whatever, cocktail weenies or whatever they are. And he ends up like groping her boob.
Oh, right.
And he's just like in shock, and she's in shock. And then later, and he just like walks out of that closet, you think. And I mean, I assume that's what happened next, because he's like, oh, I didn't.
Right.
And then, it like later she calls his office to say, like, just so you know, I'm suing you. You sexually assaulted me, which is one of those cases where like she's not wrong.
Right.
And, you know, this is a TV show. It's not like a documentary, but like she is not wrong in that that's her.
That's
like,
her perception.
That's what happened to her.
Yeah.
But then I think there's something to be said for this. It's kind of more the mindset that some people have of, like, the world isn't yours. You have to, like, take everything else into account. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can't just, in this case, follow someone around and, like, make it, like, be obsessive about something. You have to understand that everyone has feelings, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what happened 20 years ago vis-a-vis anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, with Aziz Ansari, the conversation should have revolved more around, like, what are we teaching boys and men about, like, being in a relationship in that way, like in a quick relationship. You've just met someone. I don't know, making sure they're into it.
How do you hook up?
Right. Well, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I know how to have the conversation, but it seemed like an extreme example of that to me. Like, where I don't think that young woman was like lying. Like, I really, again, just the research that I've done myself 20 years on.
Yeah.
Almost. I don't know. But I'm not out here to question her intentions or her experience. I'm just saying, based on his side of it,
yeah,
it sounds like he was like, oh, I didn't think.
You know, interestingly, though, it was still at the time, and I think even a little more recently than 20 years ago, because at least it's in my memory more recently than when me being 13. That case at that time was a big deal.
Oh, and you remember that?
Yes, but I think because it even more recently than that, it was talked about, and maybe it came up in, again, in the Me Too movement and some things that I watched. Like, if that same story had come out then, during like the height of Me Too a few years ago, it would have been a much more sensational case, and maybe
it might have demonized him more.
So yeah, and so I think it was like, had that happened then, versus 20 years ago when it was maybe a little bit more like boys will be boys type mindset, that, you know, let's take these things into account equally.
Right.
Just because they happened at a different time doesn't change
the scope of them. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So anyway, I feel like that has been more on my mind recently than when I was 13.
Right. Oh, totally.
But what I was thinking about last night when I was seeing all of these things that were just, when somebody dies, they are always painted in the best possible light.
Right.
No one is like, well, of all the people to go, that was a pretty good one.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, hopefully that doesn't start when I go, but you know what I mean? Like,
it will not.
Yeah. I paused too long because I was choking and spit, not because I was waiting for for your insertion. But, you know, neither negates either. You know, I was talking to you about this yesterday. Like, a rape allegation does not now negate the great work that he has done and the devoted father that he is, seemingly the devoted husband that he was.
Yes.
But the good things that he's done also don't negate, you know, anything that could have been questionable in his past.
Right.
But it's hard, I think, to lift somebody up and remember them and honor them in a way that feels very true,
right,
to the actual three-dimensional person that they were.
Yes, because people, I think we want to see good or bad.
Yes, for sure.
Like, we want to see, like, either a good person or a bad person. I think it's hard for everyone to live in that gray area.
Yeah.
And, like, the gray area is, like, the place I love to examine the most.
Yeah, oh, same. There's really no, like, synopsis or solution, but yeah, it did have me kind of questioning, like, forever now, and rightfully so, he will be hailed as a hero. You right. sent me something that Sean King, I mean, maybe leapt a little bit right. to this, was like, no matter the cost,
yes,
Staples Center should be renamed the Kobe Bryant Center.
Right.
Which, one, that shouldn't cost very much money to just
right.
you know, rename. But it was also like, okay, let's
take a beat.
Let's, like, breathe for a minute.
Yeah. It's like other things that could be done with a giant cost like that. That I greatly respect Sean King's work, but sometimes I'm like, just...
It's okay.
Yeah. Just wait one sec.
It's okay. And again, rightfully so. I mean, the live feed from ESPN was really moving yesterday
yes.
with the number of fans who came to the Staples Center and mm-hmm. were just waiting outside of it. You know, just...
Yeah.
Just to, like,
be there. You just want to, like, be there. Like, we had a dinner last night and we just couldn't, like, they sat us around a circle table, which is my favorite because it was a small group and you didn't have to, like, pick who you were sitting by.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the conversation just kept drifting back. Like, there was nothing else to talk about.
Right.
And, like, also, it's just a crazy way that he passed away and
yeah,
his daughter
is.
And all these other people tragically, like, because he apparently, like, always travels by helicopter.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I'm like, so what happened?
Yeah, this was like a mundane yeah. morning for him. It
like
wasn't.
Like, they said he even, like, would go home from games in his helicopter. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, imagine, I don't know, it's just your biggest fear. Like, as a parent, as a mother especially.
Yes.
Like, we are, I feel like for a lot of mothers, we tend to, like, always picture the worst and all that.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And it's like, you don't want your kids to do this. You don't want your husband to do this. But then you feel like the crazy one.
Oh,
and
totally.
Most of the time, everything is fine. So you look like the crazy one. Mm-hmm. But then this happens and you're like, okay, what's the answer? Never letting them leave home?
Yeah. Well, like, David had taken Anna Blair out with him to run some errands yesterday afternoon. And it was just the two of them. And of course, when this happened, I'm like, I pulled up his location because
yeah.
I'm like, it will not change anything. Me knowing where he is would not
no,
change anything.
No, but yeah, you want to, like, look.
But it feels like,
yeah.
I just need to know.
And apparently, too, TMZ released the information before Vanessa even found out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is tragic.
Though, I will say, in TMZ's plus, they were reporting this more accurately and quicker than any other news station. Which,
well, their sources are set. And
yeah.
you can imagine in Calabasas.
Oh, for sure.
They have, like, sources inside. I'm sure. I mean, this is I'm purely guessing. But I would assume they have sources inside law enforcement.
Oh, I'm positive.
Because someone obviously leaked it to them. Like, their sources are legit.
Well, my favorite sports.
But that's pretty garbage to do. It's like, ugh, people need to know, but, like, you didn't even give the family a chance. Like, the
yeah.
sheriff's department hadn't even called her.
Yeah, it becomes a race to the story. And
right.
I do understand that from a business perspective.
Right,
and I,
right.
of course, want to give them the benefit of the doubt of maybe they thought, maybe they didn't know, but I also know the businesses
just
didn't
release
care.
The story. Yeah.
But my favorite sports columnist is named Clay Travis. He releases a lot of sports information on Twitter and has a site called Outkick the Coverage. Mm-hmm. But he posted yesterday when he was really just sharing from TMZ and said, it's probably a bad day for news media when TMZ is reporting the most
right
the most frequently and the most factually about this, because
right.
at some point, you know, even when we were outside together and you were the one who told us about this, there were conflicting reports all over the place about
right.
whether his daughters were involved.
It was first five people.
Yeah. And I think everyone then becomes a race to get the story.
Right. Because, of course, we're sitting here refreshing.
Yeah.
We're like, was Vanessa on board? Were the kids on board?
Right.
Who was there? Like, what was happening? Like, we want to know. So it's like, we're creating the need for this. And even now,
yeah.
I'm like, I was like, I, like, woke up and checked my phone. I'm
oh,
like,
same.
What do we know about this? Like, this is crazy.
Well, there were two things that I really liked yesterday, and I really feel for the families of the other passengers involved, because
yes.
their loved ones will never receive that kind of
right.
notoriety. They are
right.
just basically a footnote of and seven others who are on the plane,
mm-hmm.
not named, you know, and I know law enforcement hadn't named them purposely, but there won't be the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, love poured out for them. But Katie Couric did a post specifically for them last night that I really liked. She said, Orange County baseball coach John Altobelli, his daughter Alyssa and wife Carrie also died in the helicopter crash along with Kobe and Gianna Bryant, and posted a family picture of them. They appear to be a family of five. Wow. And you think about the mom, dad, and a sibling died, leaving two siblings on their own. That is equally or more tragic when you think about of all the ways to go. Vanessa will be set financially. There's going to be a lot that she will not have to stress about. Mm-hmm. Not that it mitigates grief, but you think about in terms of next steps and rest of life, there will be some security and comfort. Hopefully for these kids who are left now without their sibling or either parent, there will be also some security.
Yeah.
But you think about that sense of tragedy. It doesn't, you can't compare them, but they are also not getting the newsworthiness.
Right.
And, NT Lawyer, who I actually mentioned last week, he's the one who does the celebrity lines and spoilers. He did a dedicated post to Gianna yesterday. Yes. So he did one post for Kobe and one post for Gianna.
Right.
And I really appreciated how he did that so that neither are a footnote to the other.
Yes.
Because again, on ESPN, it was like basketball legend, great Kobe Bryant dies. Also daughter 13.
Right.
Like in much smaller text. And I'm like, well, let's not elevate somebody's life.
Every death matters. And it is hard to put equal weight
into
every death. Someone posted, I don't know where the origin of this, I tried to track it down, but someone posted something in which I'm paraphrasing of getting home safely is a privilege, not to be taken for granted. And the wording was much more poignant, but it just, things like that hit hard.
Oh yeah.
Cause it's like, you know, I saw that again sometime in the afternoon. It's like, we weren't out last night, and it almost like, you know, there are people who don't fly together. First, like they're like, what if something happens? Like, we don't want to take the same flight because we don't want our kids to be left without parents and all of that. And you just, I don't know.
David and I take separate cars to a lot of places, not on purpose. It just ends up, we get there before his work schedule. But I do often think about that.
Right.
Of, well.
Yeah, safer.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
But that's not our motivation, but I think about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's no easy way to just move on.
Right.
But I think a segue is that the Grammys did a very good job making some last-minute adjustments to honor
Yeah, what a hard Kobe. Thing, because so many people there, so many people in the limelight are his friends.
Yeah.
And then they had to go out and celebrate, basically. You know, they still had to get all dolled up. I guess it's fitting that it was in the Staples Center. It kind of gave them all, at the same time, I think it kind of gave them all a chance to, hopefully, the people who are there kind of commiserate together. Because, like, you clearly just want to be together.
And talking
with
about
people.
It. And,
you know, that's why mourners come out and stuff like that, so... hopefully that gave some closure to people who were able to be there who knew him. I mean, I know a lot of his close friends probably not, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, people within that sphere.
Well, so Lizzo opened the show in a really fantastic fashion, as she is wont to do.
Yeah.
With a flute that came flying in for her.
Wow.
And it was just, she did spectacularly. Then Alicia Keys came up as the host. It was her first time on stage, and immediately addressed it. She was like, I never thought we would be doing opening the show this way.
Right.
So I appreciated they opened it on like a fun high note with Lizzo, but then immediately said, like, there's no way to even do this without acknowledging this. And so had put together a tribute to Kobe with Boyz II Men coming up and doing this a cappella version of a song, and it was just a very moving, like, obviously when you picture an award show that's so highly produced,
right,
for them to have within hours made this shift in addition of this performance, it was like, okay, this is I don't know, it just showed the importance of his work to to the general community. So anyway, it was really great. I don't like the Grammys very much because I don't like current music.
Right.
Well, I don't not like it. I just don't know it. But
you don't like it.
Okay. And I don't love performances. I don't love live music.
Yeah, I don't care for live music at all.
Like, literally, is there anything worse? Like, last week, Celine Dion was here.
Okay, that's the one concert I would go to.
Okay, I would go to the
concert.
There
are less than five artists ever I would want to see.
Celine Dion would be on my list maybe, but I hate all live shows now because of Insta stories. Because literally, if you go, no one cares about your crappy.
Just take that video for yourself.
Yeah. And also, like, why? I could just download the song. Right. So watching them sing it live on your story does not enhance that experience.
Definitely. It definitely takes away from it.
Yeah. But that said, the Jonas Brothers performed and they had a great performance.
Yeah.
And again, wouldn't consider myself a Jonas Brothers fan, but really, really liked their performance.
They're one of those that are like sliding in where it's like, wait, am I a Jonas Brothers fan?
Right. That is kind of how I felt. I was like kind of dancing in my kitchen. Yeah. And I was like, wait. Oh, no. Demi Lovato performed a new song.
I saw that.
It was revealed when she was introduced that she had ended up writing 4 days before she OD'd and almost died. It was very emotional. Like, before she even started singing, she was in tears.
Right. But,
you know, she has a really powerful voice. And
right.
Basically, it was written from, you can just see her pain of, is there anyone listening?
Right.
God, are you listening? Friends, are you listening?
Right.
It doesn't matter what I'm saying. It doesn't feel like anyone can hear me. Some big news. Billie Eilish swept the Grammys.
Yeah.
She won all four major categories. Youngest artist to do that.
I wouldn't have considered myself a huge fan of hers, and I wouldn't consider myself a huge fan, but I like her more now, I guess. And what turned the page for me was finding out that she and her brother, like,
I
do everything
together.
I knew
that's what you were going to say.
I'm like, I love that.
Because if you and your brothers were super musically inclined, I don't know if you are or not.
I've said many times that I have an amazing voice.
No, your dad has told you that.
And I've said it about myself.
So. Okay, true. Fair. I've literally never seen evidence of that. But
come around anytime the Frozen 2 soundtrack is on.
Okay, let's put it on right now. I want to hear.
No.
Okay. but when they accepted their first award, I was like, oh, this is so Hannah. but here are my thoughts.
Okay.
Well, I have a couple things to say. One, I asked Maylee, an actual youth, her thoughts on Billie Eilish winning, because I felt like I cannot make a summary.
Right.
So I said, quote, how do you feel about Billie Eilish sweeping the Grammys? She said, that doesn't sound right. Which is a pretty good.
It's a pretty Maylee quote
as
well.
It is a very Maylee quote. Then she said, what is happening? No punctuation. And I said, well, here's everything that she won. And she said, that's absurd. I know nothing. So
okay.
I don't know if she's
maybe
quite
we'll find
representative
some
of
different
the youth.
Youths.
Youths, DM us. We have questions.
We know you're all listening.
Yeah. But here's my thought. Maybe because we just watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary, which now you may be thinking to yourself, what do Aaron Hernandez and Billie Eilish have in common?
Yes.
I'll tell you.
I am thinking that.
And now, while Billie Eilish probably does not suffer from CTE that I know of, here are things that were takeaways for me from both things.
Okay.
I think it must be extremely difficult as a person to have reached your peak between the ages of 18 and 22 in terms of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Aaron Hernandez caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl at age 22.
Mm-hmm.
Billie Eilish now swept four categories of the Grammys at age 18.
Yeah.
Psychologically,
what does that do to you?
I don't approve. I think on one hand, like, wow, look what young people can accomplish.
Oh, for sure.
On the other hand, sitting here from my throne at 33, what then do
old
you have?
And wizened.
Yes, very that tracks. what do you have to work for now? And will you be able to work on it with joy and not pressure moving forward?
Right.
Because if at 18 you've done all of that, the chances are very, very low that
right.
she will be able to do that again.
Right.
So do you feel like peak life was 18 when I did these
yeah.
things? Same with Aaron Hernandez. He, at 22, he had no perspective, you know,
right.
of, no, granted, it doesn't mean that she's going to become a serial killer like he became, but
right.
there is a point of, like, I don't know that if you should experience that high
right.
without any perspective of life
right.
that young.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Billie. Hope you enjoy the rest of your time. I mean, really, not to, like, rain on her parade.
Oh,
but,
no, yeah. I think she's earned her accolades.
I will say I appreciated how she, like, pretty low-key and humbly accepted every award.
She seems pretty humble.
Yeah, I mean, she did not like make a big fuss about it. It didn't act like, OMG, I never expected this. Also, here's my pre-written list of everyone to thank.
Right.
Like, she was like very much like, wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, I thought she did well.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of losses, there was a huge collaboration to honor Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
Which
another LA.
Yeah, I felt ignorant because I had no idea who he was when he died.
And yes, when he died, I also had to like do some research.
Yeah, but John Legend, DJ Khaled, Meek Mill, and others all did a big performance honoring him.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they showed his picture and then Kobe's as well, even though it was Nipsey Hussle's.
Right.
Whatever.
Memoriam.
The best rap song performance was won by Higher, which was DJ Khaled featuring Nipsey Hussle and John Legend. So when they accepted that award, they all, you know, dedicated it to him and his family, which was really moving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a moving day, I guess. 24 hours. It's nice to see these wins. I don't have, like I said, I don't have that many formed opinions on the Grammys like I did on other award shows, which feels a little
out of touch.
Yeah, it feels a little out of touch on my part. I was just telling Passan last night, I'm like, just not into the new music. And he said he was like feeling that same way. And he said, that's how you can tell he's getting older.
That is exactly how I felt. But I felt that way since I was like 16 about music. So.
That being said, a lot of those people who are up there, I like their music. I love Alicia Keys. I love John Legend. I love Lizzo's music. I'm trying to get into Billie Eilish's music. I don't love all of it, but
I'm not trying to make myself do anything because I'm my own person.
Sure.
But I will say it was a nice celebration of lots of different genres together.
Yeah, that's good. Well, a hard day for everyone. I mean, Kobe Bryant hits everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So we hope that we've been respectful in the way that we've talked about this, and are very sorry to his family, the families of all the people affected in that crash. And we're going to take a quick break and then get back with our book review of American Royals by Catherine McGee.
All right, we're back.
Mm-hmm.
We read American Royals by Catherine McGee.
Yes.
I checked it out from the library and within a few pages texted you and asked if we could make it a community read because
right.
It's a little bit different than what we've done. And it turns out that it was an interesting time to be reading it.
Yeah.
In light of everything that has come out of the Sussex Royal brand.
Right.
With Meghan and Harry. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't not think about that while I was reading.
Right. Yes.
The book.
Yes.
Spoilers
to follow. Obviously, if you
yes.
haven't read the book, pause and then come back, or just keep listening.
Yes. Do you want to give a synopsis?
Definitely not.
Perfect. You've been working really hard at it, so I just wanted to be sure.
And synopsizing things in general. It's not going well.
Oh, good. Okay, well, a brief spoiler. A brief synopsis. This is an imagining of what America would be like if we had a royal family.
Yes.
If after the American Revolution, George Washington became king versus president.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, you know, a democracy, we had a monarchy, and what that looks like. So
yeah.
There are three royal siblings, Princess Beatrice, Princess Samantha,
mm-hmm.
and
Prince Jefferson,
Jeff. And it's an inside look at basically all of their love lives and what
uh-huh.
is happening when the king and queen are preparing Beatrice to take over.
Right.
She will be the first queen
right.
To do that. A law had recently changed that it was not just a male heir, but a female as well.
Similar to UK law.
Yes. And then basically trying to orchestrate her having a marriage that is acceptable through royal to royal marriage,
mm-hmm.
even though she's in love with her security guard.
Right. What did you think?
Well, I want to know what you think, but I guess we'll both get to share.
Yes.
I really loved it
mm-hmm.
from the perspective of it was a light, easy read.
Yes.
And I thought it was a very creative concept for a book. And I liked reading it in light of Meghan and Harry. I did not like the abrupt ending, but there's a sequel coming out in the fall.
Is there going to be a series or just a sequel?
I hope it's a series.
I have some mixed thoughts. So I love it as a book club read
mm-hmm.
Because It's almost like there are some books that are heavy and hard to read.
Yeah.
But they're necessary. Those are great books. The first example that comes to mind is Sing, Unburied Sing. I think Jessamyn Ward is the author, and it is a fantastic book, and it is everyone should read it.
Mm-hmm.
This was far the opposite side of the spectrum in that it didn't really make you think as much. Like, it was, you kind of have freedom to have some escapism when you read it.
Yeah, oh, totally.
So I think that both types are necessary. I thought it was too on the nose. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, the prologue was like, the Revolutionary War ended and George Washington said, yes, he would be a king. Can you imagine what else would be the choice? Like, yeah, it was too, talking to our friend Sarah about it, and I told her I would be stealing this. She was like, oh, it's like all in your face. And I'm like, it is very in your face, because it's like and I don't know that there's another way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like the Duke of the North of New England or something. Yeah. Like, it was just too, I think
there was no subtlety to,
there was, like, no subtlety.
This is what America would look like as a monarchy.
Right. Because it was almost like, as an American,
right.
Right. Like, we are so fiercely, what we think is democratic, that we are just very, like, to me, I'm like, there's literally no way that, like, people would be okay, because that's the way it is. It's hard for me to imagine us being different.
Oh, got
it. In this day and age.
The funny thing was, I was reading it and I was like, oh, so this would actually change nothing if we were actually a monarchy. Not a democracy. This is fine. I was so like, yeah, okay.
I mean, some of the things they said about, there was one line she had, which I liked, and I can't remember the exact wording, but she was like, can you imagine if you, like, elected someone to this post, then you would have people who are fighting and vying just for power. And I'm like, eh, I mean.
Yep. Also true.
Solid point.
But I really felt like, okay, so if America was a monarchy, it would be the exact same as it is right now.
Right.
Like, I really didn't feel like it changed anything. Though I do agree, she was pretty heavy-handed in painting this story.
Right.
I do believe that maybe, actually, one of our listeners, Rachel, reviewed it on her Instagram a few days ago.
Right.
And always has very good, insightful book reviews. She described it as a YA novel, which
it is, yes.
I would not have when I read it, because I would have refused to read
a YA. Oh, 100% it's a YA novel.
Yeah, now I get that.
Yeah.
But I do understand that she was probably writing to a much younger audience of, here is,
yes, well, because they're all
government.
First of all, they're all teenagers.
Well, yeah.
Okay, good point.
So I felt like, instead of writing to a should be in the know
adults, yeah,
it was obvious that she was very much spelling out, like,
that's a good point.
This is government functionality and how it would or would not be different if this were a monarchy.
Right. The YA, a lot of the YA aspects was the part, like, I'm like, well, these are tropes, and I knew exactly how it was going to go.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what's funny? Because I didn't realize it was a YA for whatever reason, I just kept thinking, I wish these were, like, older people. Like, I'm having a hard time with the fact that these are, like, young teens.
Because, like, some of them are, like, in love, and I'm like, you're 18, sweetie.
Yeah, well,
you are not
Beatrice
even
is the oldest, is
21 or 22.
Yeah, and so when they're, like, talking about, well, it's a little, like, Gossip Girl meets The Crown or something.
The character of Daphne plays out exactly like Serena, because she's the one who, like, runs off because she sleeps with her husband's, like, seemingly scummy best friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Husband, boyfriend.
Yeah. But she's cattier, like a Blair.
Yes.
But.
Yeah. True.
When she was talking about, being in love and, like, fighting her way, like, she spent her whole life training for this. I'm like,
right.
Pumpkin, you're 18. Like, so you spent, like, your sophomore year. Like, I'm not sure that this is, like, tracking, because she talks about, like, we were together for 3 years. Uh-huh. And I'm like, before you'd even, like, gotten your period, this is not, this is not, like, a real thing. But of course, never in my reading was I like, oh, this probably isn't, like, geared towards me.
I didn't think that until this moment.
Yeah, that was,
which maybe is a bit, I don't know, egotistical of us. that it makes a good point that if I had read this as an 18-year-old, I think I would have probably, like, drank it in more.
Yeah.
Here's something I really did like about it. I really like their, like, she very explicit, not explicitly, I guess implicitly, but very strongly exhibits consent in every interaction.
Yes.
Like, there's, like, scenes where the Prince Jefferson, the first part I really noticed it, he, like, grabs Nina's arm. Mm-hmm. Nina is the commoner who he's in love with, and she's in love with him, of course.
Everyone has a forbidden love.
Everyone has a forbidden love who is, well, except Samantha, a commoner. And I want to get to her storyline. But he grabs her arm, and mm-hmm. she says no or something, and he, like, lets it go.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel like a lot of stories kind of play into that trope of, like, she knew she wanted him, but she also didn't want him to let go. So he held on.
Right.
It's like, that's not a good thing. Like, if you say no, someone shouldn't keep holding on, even if part of you might kind of want them to. You said no.
Well, in that scene with Beatrice in the snow cabin when they, like,
I was gonna say
first
too.
Get it on.
Yeah.
And he's like,
barely even.
Yeah.
But he was like, just like, they kissed. I'm like, okay, but
that was steamy. Okay. But
I was like, what exactly was controversial? I'm so confused.
But she was like,
are you pregnant? No.
Right. Well, she wanted to move it to the bedroom or didn't want to move it to the bedroom.
Yes.
But
she immediately says, like, I know I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know yourself. That's fine. There's no pressure.
And he said, are you sure? Like, when they did finally sleep together, he was very much like, are you sure?
Oh, do they finally sleep? Okay. I skipped a small part at the end because I was kind of tired of the storyline.
They sleep together, like, a lot.
Do they sleep together?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just assumed.
Like, they fell asleep together.
No. Well, they started spending every night together.
Yeah, but even then she says we're not sleeping together.
Oh, she did say that. You're right.
Yeah. So, I think, I don't know. I just think respect for everyone is a theme, which more of that, please. Thank you, Catherine McGee.
Right.
I love that she did that. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's really important for the youths to read these stories, because, like, you need to know that it's not okay, like, if you said no, even if part of you wants this boy to hold on to your arm or, like, is kind of, like, has feelings for him, you set the boundaries in the same way, like, you also can't grab him.
Well and I do like, to your point that I had just forgotten but now remember that I liked a lot, I did appreciate that they did not immediately have sex.
Right.
That
none
it's
of them
okay
could.
To have Nina and not
I think
Nina,
that surprised
Daphne.
Me because I keep forgetting that it's, like, young people.
Well, and that's what did stick out to me, where I was like, wow. Why are we talking about losing your virginity at a graduation party? Which obviously people do. I'm just prudish. But it, like, with Daphne, and I was like, this feels in your face for these young people. Why do I feel like a creep reading about 18 years having, like, drunken sex at a party?
I don't know. That's totally appropriate.
My peers. but for, that's right. So when Beatrice never had sex, I was like, okay, well, it's okay. Like, I appreciated that this relationship was painted as equally passionate and equally as emotional.
Yes.
But sex was not involved with it.
Yes. I totally agree with you. Now, here's the thing. So I love historical fiction, and I think my problem with...
What about historical modern day? Historical present.
Historical present. I think my problem with, first of all, Beatrice's storyline was, I was like, given that we have, like, William, Prince William, in real life, did marry a, quote, commoner in Kate. She will be the queen. And then
in England.
Yeah, I know. They're whatever.
An American democracy, you know.
We would never. But and then, like, Harry, like, is tearing it all down from the inside now. So I'm kind of like, I mean, is all of this really, like, legit? Like, my thought process
is this made up American monarchy legit?
This would never happen. No, but I'm just like, for me personally, this is not, again, I do think if I was an 18-year-old reading it, I would feel a little differently. But it's easier for me to understand, like, I feel like in olden times, it was easier for people, it was easier to understand the storyline of, like, you have to arrange a marriage. So because they started out with having to have Beatrice do that, she was very wooden to me the whole time.
Yes.
So I'm like, are we, like, traveling in time and reading about her as
like
Victorian
was this
England Beatrice?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I felt like every character, except maybe Nina, was very heavy-handed in who their personality was. There was not a lot of, like, oh, they could be like this, and oh, there's, like, a multifaceted version of their personality. You would see glimpses of it, but
Yeah, because then I just kind of, I'm like, okay, well, you're just doing this to consolidate power, which is what monarchies have done throughout time, and that's why the rich stay rich, and that's why the world has been colonized, and that kind of annoys me a little as a human being. So then I couldn't, like, get past that. So then that bothered me. Cause
I could buy into it immediately. Even though the adult part of my brain was like, if they're, like, forward-thinking enough to make it okay for this 21-year-old like girl to become a queen.
I know. Well, I mean, throughout history, there have been tons of young kings and queens.
Yes, but I'm thinking if this is the big shift that for the first time ever in 2010 or whenever this book was written.
Oh, yes.
That a woman could be queen. Mm-hmm. They also wouldn't be okay with a commoner.
Yeah.
Like joining the monarchy. But some things I did like and felt very, I don't know, relatable with Harry and Meghan, mm-hmm. I felt like, was the way that Beatrice's relationship with her father was. It felt very much like Queen Elizabeth of, you see this figurehead who's mm-hmm. pretty stern, but was very warm and wanted the best for his daughter, especially because he knew he was dying and was kind of hiding it. Mm-hmm. But
it was very sad to read his story.
Yeah, but I really, really felt the tension of Beatrice to please him and also
I thought that was well written.
Her obligation to carry on the throne and really feeling like, okay, if I'm buying into this, that this is a forbidden relationship, which I've bought into that. I understand that tension and I understood him saying, like, as a father, I want this for you.
Right.
As a king, it can never happen. And as this position, my personal preferences do not supersede my political obligations.
Right.
You know, I thought that whole scene was very well written.
Yeah, I think, again, understanding that I am a 30-year-old woman and not a 20-year-old woman, I think even, like, it was hard for me to buy into it from the beginning because I'm like...
Amy Rambo said that. She's tried to read it a while ago and couldn't.
Yeah.
She just couldn't get into it. Yeah,
because it's almost like, if I were Catherine McGee, I'd be annoyed at the actual royals because, like, both of them, like, marrying commoners kind of kills all her storylines.
Yeah, true.
And because I think part of the reason that we kind of obsess over the stories of kings and queens... is that the only example we truly, truly know about are the royal family of the UK because mm-hmm. There are other royal families, but they're just not as much as in the spotlight. And, also like those people have kind of seemingly married whoever they want.
Yeah.
For the last couple generations. And everything else is like history.
Yeah.
So it's one of these like fairy tales, you know, you don't have to really consider what are the implications of someone marrying just to consolidate power. Like what are the implications of a monarchy? So for those reasons, it was a little hard for me to buy into. Now, Samantha's storyline totally confused me in that I'm like, okay, you are in love with someone who it turns out the whole time too, I'm like, you're kind of a skeez ball because
I really did not like Samantha.
I meant Teddy.
Oh, Teddy.
Not really, because you find out, like, he didn't know he was there to meet Beatrice. Making out in a closet with Samantha.
At first, I was like, you are literally the worst, Teddy. Yeah. But then I was like, okay,
he's fine. He's not a skeezball, that was too. Samantha, I feel like I couldn't ever put my finger on her. Like, I'm like, are you Serena? Are you...
Like, are we supposed to like her and feel some passion for her or not? I think my big issues with Samantha included, I didn't understand why she and Beatrice weren't close. There was seemingly never any drama.
Right.
I guess I understood her feelings of resentment and jealousy.
Right. Being the spare.
Yeah.
That made sense. Being the person who, like, your parents never go to. But also, like, there were conversations where it was, like, they walked into my room and, like, we're looking. Or they walked into something. Like, they walked somewhere. Beatrice always goes running with her dad.
Yeah.
And then he looks up and he's like, oh, Samantha, do you want to go running? And she's like, of course, he'd rather go with Beatrice. And I'm like, seemingly this is their routine.
Right.
Like, and you never attend, so.
Well, and the fact that Beatrice is just a few minutes late and he asks if you want to. Like, I'm pretty sure he also would like to go running with
Susan, yeah. So it's like we couldn't really figure out how to pin her down. And so the whole storyline of her and Teddy was like forbidden love because he had to save his people. Which, sure. But I'm also like, okay, but like Samantha's also a princess.
Right.
Like, just marry that one.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
Why? Like, why could you only marry the one specific princess to get, like, if he married into the royal family,
yes, he would be saved.
His dukedom would be saved no matter what.
But
so,
I do think they had all gotten too far into it at that point to pull it out. That's what she said. But I think they had gotten too far into this ploy that Teddy was, I don't know. I get frustrated when there's just lack of communication that could have made, but her entire book was based on that.
That is one of the things that I like drives me crazy as a literary trope. I'm like, hey gang, just open the door, yell down the hall,
family meeting here,
text
for a
like I can't stand that. So that drives me crazy.
Well, and I do think that it is unrealistic. Again, having bought in fully to this American monarchy storyline,
sure.
That things that affected the entire royal family, like Beatrice being arranged to marry, would not have been talked about with the entire family.
Right. It all happened very quickly.
Yeah, the very big night. Wouldn't you think, if this is true, that we are trying to get Beatrice a husband, the entire family would be met to be like, hey, kids.
Be on your best behavior.
Yeah, because guess what? We're trying to get Beatrice tied down.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree. Like, they weirdly, like, kept the other two kids out of everything.
Which I don't think, in terms of how we've seen, like, the actual royal family work, is very true.
Yeah, because it feels like they kind of have to be on the same page about things. And it also feels like if you know to like she tried to paint the two of them as wild children, but also like only in story, like they weren't really wild children in evidence. So I'm like, I mean, she's a teenager making out with an attractive guy at a party. Like that's not like wild, I guess, in the royal world it is. But like you should probably say like, hey, eligible bachelors here are not eligible.
Right.
Like, we know you're kind of crazy. So FYI, don't make out with this folder full of them.
Right. When you have a 21-year-old and 18-year-old seemingly very beautiful single daughters.
Right.
Like you would probably outline that.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, what's up, Sam?
Yeah. They
here
just
are all
weirdly
the ones that aren't for you.
Kept. Yeah, exactly. They just weirdly kept Sam out of everything, and I'm like, okay, if she really is the spare, like, she's gonna be real ill prepared to like reign.
That's true.
when a disaster strikes and she unwittingly has to become queen, and then it's like, hey, guess you people should have like talked to her ever. Like, is she in this family or not? I'm so confused.
I will say that my least favorite storyline in the entire thing was Nina and Jefferson's.
Okay,
I liked the idea of it, but it was absolutely the epitome of no communication leading to romantic mishaps.
Yeah.
I'm like, how many times are you going to, like, people going to be mean to you and you're going to be like, see, this is exactly why I could never do this.
Right.
When Jefferson has shown no evidence of being anything but, like, wanting you.
Right. Yeah. It's, and I don't like men being portrayed as, like, the unwitting, like, In this exact situation where it's almost like a competition, I don't like the pitting like Daphne against Nina. I get it, but the specific thing I didn't like was that like he was like immediately was like, thank you for coming.
Oh yeah,
and
to
like
Daphne.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm by nature extremely jealous. So like when she showed up at the mountain slopes or whatever,
He
was like, let's go skiing. That would be the kind of thing that if I saw that on her Instagram later, I would lose it. Like, that's a hard no. So it would be so I hate that he just like was so gullible in all of that. Like he's like, oh, like every time she talks to him, she tries to say like, I miss you, and he's like, I just want to be friends. It's like, get out of here. No one's gonna be your friend. You're a prince. They all want you, so stop.
Right. And you were with this girl seemingly since you were in utero, if you're together for 3 years. So you know that he's seen her operate.
Right.
So it was like, I don't know, why is everyone very 2D?
Right.
That said, then, while I'm picking all this apart, I did really like the book. I thought it was good escapist literature.
I think she was trying to do Daphne as Blair and Ethan as Chuck.
Oh, totally.
Which I
that
didn't
way.
Really think it through until like right now. It would have made a little more sense. Because I'm also, the way she was writing it, I'm like, wait, is Ethan like some gawky kid?
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, he loves her. Why?
But he's like seems like a weird hanger-on, like loner. He's very much a Chuck.
Yes, exactly. Except I didn't ever get. I'm like, I didn't. Is he poor? He seems poor.
No, like, yeah, he's a commoner. Things. He's like, also a commoner.
Yeah, but she's like,
But again,
she never, she realized she didn't actually know where he lived. And I'm like, oh, he lives in an apartment, like a one bedroom.
In the project.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's like, how she would base
right,
that.
Right, right. Like, I just assume, I don't know, I assume he's like, actually broke or something like that.
Well, you know, it is interesting to bring up your point of why they can't marry commoners, because they all hang out with commoners a lot. Right. Like, all of their best friends are commoners.
Yeah. 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 And also, like, I just keep thinking of, like, if I, let's, I mean, I buy into this. Okay. Let's say I buy into it. And
I'm
our
surprised
21,
that you didn't.
I think I'm too hot about actual royalty right now.
Okay.
To, like, have bought into fictional modern-day royalty.
Anything you put in front of me as a plot line, I'm like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm immediately into it.
But say you have a attractive, eligible 21-year-old future
I remember being
regnant.
That. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And her bodyguard is extremely attractive. Would we not already be speculating about them? Yes, because every single celebrity who has an attractive bodyguard,
yes,
people are always like, are they banging? And usually they are.
I did find that interesting as well, because it seemingly her
they
bodyguard...
They spent like a lot of one-on-one time together.
Right, like when he followed her into her room to like check it out while
right.
she was getting ready for bed, I
right.
was like, this feels... Yeah. Strange to me that this is not
yeah.
already a discussion
yeah,
point.
Yeah, exactly. He's like alone with her all the time.
And no other guard was there. And like her
yeah.
dad just walked in and was like, oh, hello.
Hey, young man in my daughter's room.
Yes, hello, employee.
Don't worry, I'm aware you took a vow.
Right.
So nothing ever went wrong there.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, this guy I think was like 21 or 22.
Yeah, but also like what are the chances that by 21 or 22 he would have become like this elite guard in the
oh,
royal
yes
guard.
Yeah, I mean, and that funny enough, that's the part I can't accept, because I'm like,
oh, not me.
That's the trope of like that I like. I totally can buy into of like, of course you're like top. I don't know, like
I pictured
what's
it
the,
though.
Like, of course you're amazing. Like, easily. Of course you have a hard backstory and you had to fight for your family. That all makes total sense.
Not for me when I was like, you 21-year-old with like this huge chest piece tattoo, like
yeah.
indicating your hard life. I don't know.
My favorite thing is like when young people have tattoos, I'm like, okay, when in your life story did you get that? Because like legally you can't go without consent at 18. So
it's fresh,
before
it's
18. Yeah. So there was some other it's a different, I wonder if everything is different in like the UK, because the show Sex Education on Netflix, which is phenomenal and everyone
okay.
should watch it. All the kids have like tattoos, and I'm like, you are all like 15 and 16. So like, what is the legal age? I don't know. I just always wonder about that kind of thing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, maybe in this world you can get them at whatever time.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay. So when it ended,
uh-huh.
did you like the ending?
I liked it as a setup for the next book.
It was a very good sequel setter.
That being said, I don't know if I'm going to read the next book.
I am.
I'm like, do I care about these characters? I know. Ultimately, they're going to try and work it out to everyone ends up together.
Yes, but I also would really like it to be that she abdicates and Samantha becomes queen. That's what I
yeah.
felt like was being kind of the setup.
Maybe, yeah. That'd be cool. True. I
might
read
it. You know who wins? Teddy. Teddy's the one who gets
right.
whatever he wants.
He gets a princess no matter what. What a surprise. The
yeah.
man wins.
And he seems to like them both just fine.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
he never seems really conflicted.
Right. He's just like, okay, but I have to do this, so.
Yeah. But, like, you're
let's kiss in this
so
hot tub
this
for,
fine.
Like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does seem to win no matter what.
Right.
And Jefferson.
Right. I mean, he's, like, in love with Nina, but I
But there's, like, literally no conflict except on Nina's
right.
end about
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Like, nobody, actually, come to think of it, no one seems at all kerfuffled that he's with a commoner.
Right. Except Nina.
Right. Even though they're, like, very open about it. Like,
right. Because even when it first comes out, the royal chamberlain or whatever comes
yeah.
to her parents' house. And he's
like,
sign
this NDA.
Right. And he's also like, all right, this is what you have to do now. The end. Like, he's like, please behave in this manner.
Yeah.
He didn't say, don't be together.
Yeah.
So.
I guess because, I don't know.
To be a freaking princess and get over it, Nina.
Yeah, really. I'm like, what do you have to worry about?
He's the third in line to the throne, and that's only until Beatrice has kids, so
well, and again,
you're fine.
She's been around them her whole life. Like, she
right.
and Samantha are best friends, so it's not like this is a...
Right. She's not
some
technically
shock.
An outsider. It's like, the
yeah.
family knows her. She goes on all their family vacations.
Yeah.
Like, you're
so she's
in.
Been pictured in press stuff, too, so I
right.
don't know. I was a little bit confused.
I did like, though, how they did talk about, like, the harsh, she, Catherine, talked about the harshness of, Catherine the author, people online. Because, like, yes. people were so brutal. And, but at the same time, it's like, you don't, it doesn't feel as brutal. But, like, she was reading the comment that was like, I think the queen should just have her killed.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That is easily something someone would say online. But totally. Then you see her reading it, and it really affects her.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think that was really good for her to point out of, like, you know, these things you say online are still things you say. Like, yeah. you still, it still hurts people who read it, whether they're of a seemingly different tier in society yeah. or not. So I liked that. I did not, I would not like, this was one that I could put down because, okay, I couldn't get into it originally because I don't really know why. I'm not going to fault the book for that as much. Because I've been finding it hard to get into any books lately.
I have too.
I think it's like a time of year thing.
Yeah.
But once I finally got into it, I really was like into it. But then when she got to the point where she goes to see her dad and he has stage 4 lung cancer,
mm-hmm.
which was tragic, because that's also like another fear of mine. Like, one of your parents like suddenly being like, I have 3 months to live.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, shoot, I have to be queen. Now I can't have Teddy. And I'm like, or Connor. Now I can't have Connor. And I'm like, okay.
I did feel like the book was about 100 pages too long.
Yeah. I skipped a small chunk of it.
But interestingly, it was a pretty long book, but the plot advanced very quickly. So I'm not sure.
Well, like, so when Nina basically breaks it off with Sam, mm-hmm. when Sam comes to her room and you're like, wait, that is the weirdly, like, I don't know if she was trying to play, like, Nina being the bad friend or Sam, because I'm like, that does seem like Sam just kind of like bulldozed her all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I felt like when Sam comes to her room, I was just kind of like, I'm like, I know where this is going. She mm-hmm. and Jeff are going to break up because she can't handle it.
Yep.
Yeah. I skipped from there to the moment when Ethan took Daphne home from a party.
Oh, yeah.
The party after she had, interestingly enough, Daphne might have been my favorite character because of how like real life she seemed.
Yeah, I did like her. She was kind of a caricature of a mean girl, but
right.
I did think that Catherine McGee did a very good job giving her own chapters so that you could see kind of the two-dimensional side of her. Like, I thought that it was very on point. And it actually felt like this probably does happen, not in a royal family, but with celebrities, of how well-crafted her image is and the way that she would go. And, like, she kind of turned off her feelings about, like, the time that she spent volunteering.
Right.
But I thought that she was probably the most dynamic character in the entire story.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. I really only wanted to figure out what really happened with her friend Himari.
Oh, yeah. That lasted too long, though.
Yeah. So but even still, I skipped a small chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was enough people going on about what happened, I didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Like, basically, I skipped from there and then I read to the end. And I still caught her seeing Himari. I'm like, wait, I skipped kind of a chunk. What all happened here? Like, all they had to do was, like, break up and Beatrice had to, like, confront her dad and then feel like she sent him to his death, which is tragic.
Yeah, that is really sad. And I thought that that was an interesting, that will be an interesting thing to explore in the sequel of how she carries her feelings on.
Right.
With that. I did think it was moving when she stood up and then she was queen.
Right. Like, yeah, that was
very moving. The very last scene. But nothing was wrapped up. And obviously it was written with a sequel in mind, but
I was kind of expecting it to be wrapped up a little bit. I thought a sequel would be these storylines wrapped up and then
mm-hmm.
new storylines.
No.
But I did like how there was no question of her reigning. Like, there was talk of, like, people aren't going to accept you as a queen, but blah, blah, blah. But then, like, Teddy and Connor, like, everyone in her life, like, very much respected her leadership and, like, her obligations and all of that, and I liked that. Like, I liked that we didn't deal with, like, there were a few people who, like, there was the person in the beginning that she was dancing with who was just going on about himself.
No, yeah.
But even still, it wasn't like an arrogant, like, it wasn't I can be king for you. It was like people wanted to, like, be her king consort or whatever.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I thought that was good.
Well, and I did like, because I think they set up more that if she were to abdicate, Samantha would be queen. Because at some point I was like, well, just abdicate and let Jeff be king. And even then I was like, no, that's like, that is eliminating the fact that for the first time a queen could take over.
Right. Well, and he's the youngest anyway.
I was just kind of like, Sam won't do it, but just make it Jeff. He doesn't seem to care either way.
Right.
But even it was interesting, like in my own thought, I was like, it would just be easier if just the king did it.
Right.
This is the problem with queens. Too many emotions. Exactly. This is why women shouldn't lead.
Agent of the patriarchy, Caroline. That's how I felt,
yeah.
But is this real life, I wonder, that like when you have an heir, you know, a William, examples in other royal families that exist today. I wonder if, the other children are as ignored. Like, is that real life? I was a little disappointed because I hoped that the author was a historian. Because I was like, there's going to be a lot you're going to have to tie in if you, like, just change our long 200-year history.
Just change the president's title to a king. It's fine.
Yeah. I wonder if they're at – because I'm like, if you really are the spare, shouldn't you be also groomed, like, somewhat, like, prepared at all and paid attention to? I don't know.
They did, like, bring in the quirky aunt at one point.
Right.
But, like, they really kind of ignored, like, decades of – other heirs and spares in their lineage.
Yeah.
They couldn't even draw from of like what other.
Right. It's one of those things that like seems at the outset like, what if we were a monarchy? But then you really have to dive in. I felt like the part about slavery, I was wondering how she would.
Oh, yeah.
How she would do this. And looking back, I see it as very like, she knew she had to include it.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene replays in my memory almost comically, almost satirically of like her being like the Beatrice being like, something about our history. And he's like, slavery. Like, I don't know why. I don't remember if that's exactly how, but like when I read it, I'm like, okay, so you knew you had to talk about like our history of slavery,
but also
which like, good for you for bringing it up because we don't talk about it enough. But also like, sure,
And also
it's just on the nose.
But there are other tough things that they also could have talked about. You know, like the Trail of Tears and other things that are like not only like slavery,
colonialism, right? Which like, I guess they can't as a monarchy talk about colonialism.
True,
but. Yeah, there is quite a lot of negativity in our history that could be...
Well, and it is also interesting that, I mean, I'm just now realizing this. Again, I fully bought into this alternate universe. Right. Totally. But it is funny that I did catch myself a few times being like, so what was the point of the revolution if we were just going to set up a king over here? That it was kind of like... Well, so what did we revolt?
We don't want their tea, Caroline.
that's
obviously.
Like, so then what did it come down to? Like,
right. It came down to not being a part of that kingdom.
Yeah, it did. But it was just kind of like
a better one.
So we really just transferred it.
Yes.
It's like we franchised.
Yeah.
We fought a really bloody war to franchise their model. But did you like to picture Donald and Melania as king and queen while you're reading it?
Are you kidding? That didn't even pop into my head one time.
It did to me and it made me laugh.
No, not even one time did I think that.
In like the worst
way. Because the king is very dignified.
No,
I would never.
Not because I would have thought the king was Donald Trump, but I was just picturing like, if this were our current reality.
Oh, yes.
Could you?
I don't know. He probably wishes it was our current reality. For sure he wishes.
I'm positive that is the case.
I don't know. I that never popped into my head because that the whole thing about monarchies, it's like one family, so that would never.
Oh, that's true.
That would never happen, Caroline.
I'm still not there.
Be reasonable.
Are we not in a monarchy?
Yeah, wait, it seems like we are.
Oligarchy. I don't know.
We're in Mitch McConnell's monarchy.
Yes. Anyway, I liked it. I thought it was good. Escape,
honestly, I might read the second book. I did like it for the escapism for part of it.
Mm-hmm.
For like the first half, once I finally got into it, which again, it wasn't the book's fault. It wasn't her fault I couldn't get into it. I really think there's something seasonal. Like, I can't get into anything right now.
Well, I do think that I will enjoy it in a different way when I realize that it is meant for babies to read this book. Because I was very, like,
please read this and then come back.
I really was disturbed by reading about the sexual activity and, alcohol use of children.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I'm like, okay, obviously this is happening in like rich circles as far as like underage drinking, but like when you stop to think, it's like as an adult, for a second you're like, I want to rewatch Gossip Girl, and then like watch a second, you're like, wait, these are supposed to be like 14-year-olds.
Yeah, I did do
having
that
like illicit affairs and like hard drugs, and like yes. I'm just like, it's a no for me as a grown woman.
I loved Gossip Girl. I read the books and watched the show.
I loved it too. Yeah, and when it was on
after Jane Ellis,
when we again were the appropriate age to right, when we were consume that content.
But really, I think it was after I had Jane Ellis, I was like, oh, I'm gonna spend this time like. I'm going to rewatch Gossip
right,
Girl. And
right.
really, I got through one episode and I was like, I cannot do
right.
this.
Right. I think I've done the exact same thing with specifically Gossip Girl. And there's been a couple other shows that I'm like, we're going to leave that in our collective
yes,
youth.
Yes, I was going to say in my Disney vault
right,
forever.
Right, exactly. So I enjoyed doing a what I would call brain candy read.
Okay. I like that.
And... do we have a book for next year to announce yet? Next
no.
month?
Ugh, are you going to pick a really serious one?
No. I liked reading a lighter book.
Okay.
I liked that.
It can be a serious one. Sorry. My
no,
tone was wrong.
No.
Are you going to pick a really serious one?
No. I don't want to do a serious one. I want to do... I like young adult overall. But my overall thing is I like young adult books, but I am also not... a young adult anymore, I feel like.
You heard it here, you heard it here first, folks.
I'm not a adult.
Okay.
No, what's
not a girl,
the,
not yet a woman.
What's the genre? The middle genre. Oh, it's too early for me to remember this. There's young adult and adult, and then...
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Emerging. No, what? That's like a children's book. Okay.
I'll tell you what's a good book.
I'll put this in the notes. There's like one for like 20s and 30s. A genre. Emerging adult or something. I can't. Huh. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Speaking of Laura Ingalls Wilder, there is a book
naturally
out called Caroline that I don't know the author, so look it up yourself. that is basically a take on the mother's perspective of Laura Ingalls Wilder's life. So Caroline is Laura Ingalls Wilder's mom.
Yeah.
And it tells her story of moving to the prairie.
Interesting. I would read that.
And it is very gripping. It talks about childbirth that she has on the prairie and really trying to parent young children
mm-hmm.
with nothing.
Yeah.
It was very, very compelling.
Yeah, I would read that. All right. Well,
I only have one good idea I can think of.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I know. I wish I could have videotaped your immense joy. You looked exactly like Norbeth.
Okay. Seeing everyone on Wednesday night.
Yes. Yes, that's the good idea. It sounded like a good idea, and it is a good idea to come and hang out with us on Wednesday night. No pressure. We're super cool.
We are not too eager. We are not too eager.
Anyway, we're going to save our good ideas for this week for in person, so you only get them if you come here.
Oh, that's dangling the carrot.
Got it. Anyway, when this comes out, if you don't have plans for tonight, which will be Wednesday night, come see us. I don't know if I've said that yet.
Perfect.
And we will see you then. If not, we'll see you here next Wednesday. Have a good week, and keep reading and tell us what we should read for February.
Bye.
Bye.